Oh, good morning to you, Zion Church. First of all, let me just thank Pastor Philip for the cordial invitation to come and share the Word of God to all of you here in Perth. One way to test whether a speaker is good or not is that if you are very, very good, they invite you back maybe 3 times a year. If you are just good, they invite you back maybe once in 3 years. If you are average, they'll invite you back once in 7 years. I checked my diary this morning. The last time I was preaching for Pastor Philip was 8 years ago. When you're invited once in 8 years, you're not awesome. You're awful. In any case, I'm glad to be here to share the Word of God with all of you. For those of you that don't know me, I'll share a little bit of myself so you get acquainted with me. Then I'll share with you a little bit of what I do in the ministry. I'm married. One wife. Same wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 daughters. Oldest girl is married, based in Sydney. Younger girl is still single and working in Melbourne. The ministry I started 7 years ago is called Advanced Leadership. The purpose thereof is to go to poorer countries in Asia. I've been to places like Mongolia, China, Sri Lanka, Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, Indonesia, and so forth. The purpose of Advanced Leadership is to bless pastors, church planters who are serving the Lord faithfully but have no opportunity to get formal training. We are so blessed in Australia, whether it's Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, US, UK. If someone has a desire to serve the Lord, they say, oh, I want to go to Bible school. Then they say, oh, which Bible school should I go? And there are so many Bible schools. Oh, shall I go to Australia Bible school? Shall I go to UK, US? And thousands of colleges, you know, available at hand. Today, there are brothers and sisters that are serving the Lord in poorer countries. They have no opportunity to be trained. So the least we can do is to go to them and provide them the training. So that's what I do in all these years of ministry. I'm very thankful for friends and churches that know what I do, believe in what I do. They sponsor the ministry. We gather the people from the villages and we bring them from the rural areas to a centralized place. And for 3 days, we train them, we encourage them, and we sponsor the food and so forth. Some of them, you know, we just give rice, vegetables, maybe one meat dish. You know, that could be the best meal they have for the whole year. More than that is the spiritual word of God. You know, it's very encouraging when I get the feedback. You know, it says, Brother, I'm about to give up the ministry, but I'm so thankful you came. And through the ministry, I got so encouraged, and now I'm continuing to serve the Lord. That's, you know, that's the encouragement I get in going to places like this. Honestly speaking, I'd rather stay at home. My toilet is super clean. When I go to villages like this, sometimes the toilet is just a hole in the ground. You take one look, you don't want a second look. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Just last month, I was in Kagera. Do you know where Kagera is? If you know, then your geography is super good. I don't know this place existed until my Indian pastor friend told me, would you like to go to Kagera? I said, where is Kagera? He says, in Bihar. I said, where is Bihar? He says, the poorest state in India. I said, oh, wonderful. And he said, even our own Indian preachers don't want to go. Would you like to go? When he said that, I was thinking in Cantonese, in Chinese. Ho yam gai siwa. That means good things you don't recommend me. You know, bad things you recommend to me. So I prayed about it, thought about it. I said, okay, let's go. So we went. I tell you, my last trip I went, I calculated from Melbourne, I left door to door to the time I reached Kagera. It was almost 48 hours of travel and waiting. Overnight train. Have you been on an overnight train in India? It's a unique experience. When I reached the place I'm supposed to do the training, I was hoping the ambulance would come and meet me. I'm not half dead, I'm 3/4 dead. Thank God! His grace is always sufficient for us. Amen? Amen. This last trip, on the way there, I seldom get sick. In all my 36 years of serving the Lord, I seldom get sick. But in this trip on the overnight train, I developed fever on the train. And I was shivering and bones were aching. I reached there at 4 a.m. By 10 o'clock, I have to be on my feet for 6 hours to preach for the next 3 days. I said, oh God, have mercy on me. Thank God, he had mercy on me. He gave me the grace, gave me the strength, and we were able to conduct the training. So that's, in a gist, a little bit of my family, a little bit of what I do in the ministry. Let's turn to the Word of God this morning. I want to encourage all of us, brothers and sisters, that as believers, we need to have godly desires. Let's turn to Psalms 73, verses 25 and 26, and then over to James chapter 1, verse 15. Psalms 73, verses 25 and 26. Yet I am... 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. James 1:15. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, he gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that the preaching of your word, by your Holy Spirit, you enlighten us, you convict us, you comfort us, you encourage us. We pray that our hearts will be good soil for the seed of the word of God. Give us the grace not only to be listeners, but to be doers of the word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, brothers and sisters, desire is very, very powerful. If you have godly desires, it will lead you to your divine destination. If you have carnal desires, it will lead you to your destruction. So it all depends what kind of desires we have in our hearts. Recently, we were just talking to one pastor. He says, one of our Christian couples have problems. I said, what kind of problems? He said, now we're not talking about, you know, uneducated people. We're talking about, you know, people who are well educated. He's a dentist. He says he's a Christian. I said, oh, dentist, Christian, wonderful. What's the problem? He says he wants his wife to watch pornography with him. I said, what? He said that is what he wanted his wife to do, and that's the cause of the marital conflict now. I said, what kind of Christian is this? What kind of Christian is this? What kind of desires that these kind of people have? If we truly have godly desires, we will not be wanting to do this kind of things, isn't it? For example, the desire for quick money can lead you into a lot of trouble. Now, about 25 years ago, when the internet was opened up, I got an email, something like this. Now, I observed there were some brothers and sisters from Africa. By the way, there's no reflection of brethren from Africa. Some of my good friends are from Africa, okay? But by the way, this email I got, he says, didn't call me by name. Dear so-and-so, I'm from Nigeria. Recently, one of my relatives passed away and left us with 100 million. Now, if you can facilitate to take this 100 million out of Nigeria, we'll give you 1% of the 100 million. Now, brother, you don't need a calculator. Just do a quick mental calculation. 1% of 100 million, your saliva will be dripping. Isn't it? When I got that email, I said, it sounds too good to be true. That was 25 years ago. And up to today, some of these folks still, they redesigned the words, but it's the same content. And in a documentary by BBC, some people are stupid enough to respond. People from Australia, people from UK, people from Malaysia, people from Singapore. Some of them lost 100,000, 200,000, half a million. Some of them lost their entire life-saving pension. They got swindled. because the way it works is this. You want the 1%? Well, admin fee is $10,000. Can you please send me your particulars and send the $10,000 first? Then we will credit the 1%. Isn't that wonderful? The desire for quick money can lead you into a lot of trouble. Been in trouble before because of the desire for quick money? No. Wow, you are a really holy group. I have been sucked in once. I lost $7,000. Too good to be true. As it was one internet Ponzi scheme that got me into trouble. I was thinking to myself, wow, so good. 25% interest. Even the biggest bank cannot give me the kind of interest. So I said, okay, I'll invest in it. I was counting myself, wow, raising fund for the mission field is very, very hard. Raising fund for people is like pulling teeth. All right. So maybe it is one of the good ways Jehovah Jireh is meeting all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! Planning the money and they disappeared. Ah, that was hard. It took me some years to even save $7,000. What are your desires? Are they carnal? Recently, I got another email. It says, "Dear so-and-so, I'm a single, blonde, sexy, Russian girl looking for you." Isn't that wonderful? You are beautiful, blonde, and sexy. And you're still single? You must be kidding. Secondly, you're super beautiful, single, sexy, and you're looking for me. It can't be true. You don't look for some guy who is past 55 years old. You look for someone younger, isn't it? Too good to be true. But let me tell you this. How many Christian marriages have been wrecked because of the carnal desire, being enticed by these kind of things? Some go to online chat with strangers. They call themselves Christians and wreck their marriages. We have to be very, very careful in these times that we are living in, because desire is very, very powerful. How did Adam and Eve fell into sin? Get back to Genesis. It's the same door that opened the temptation, the door of desire. Genesis chapter 3 verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die." Verse 4, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 6, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and gave it and ate it and gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." That's the beginning of trouble, the door of desire. So, brothers and sisters, we have to be very careful what stems out from the depths of our heart. What kind of desires you have and I have. So the purpose this morning is, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us as believers, we need to inculcate godly desires so that it will lead us to a godly destination and so that we can fulfill the godly purpose that God has in store for each one of us. Narcissistic desires will lead you to emptiness. Solomon discovered that. All right, he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 10, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil." And the end thereof, he concluded that it is meaningless. Another version says it's like chasing after the wind. All right. Chapter 2, verse 11 of Ecclesiastes. "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I have toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He tried everything the human heart wanted. He says, "I'll try pleasure." He had pleasure. A whole harem of women, sex, and so forth. He tried property. He gained property after property. He tried knowledge, knowledge after knowledge. He tried all kinds of things, wealth, silver, and gold. He was so rich that the silver it's like stones on the pavement. How would you like that? Wow! That's how rich he was. Yet through it all, Solomon says it's like chasing after the wind. Not too long ago, I saw a documentary, I think by Oprah Winfrey. She was interviewing this Hollywood director who has reached the peak of his career. Now, when you have your own aeroplane, you have made it. All right? He had his own aeroplane. He had a huge mansion, 17 rooms, 12 toilets. When I heard that, what in the world would a guy want 12 toilets in his house? Unless he's planning to have diarrhea every other week or whatever, you know? 12 toilets! Why? He says, when he gotten the fame, when he gotten the money, when he gotten the prestige, when he gotten all that he wanted, he says his heart is empty. I say, hey, you should have read the Bible. Solomon said that thousands of years ago. But then he says he decided to make a change in his lifestyle. He downgraded to a small house, gave a good portion of his wealth to the needy. And then he made the film called I Am. When I heard the word I Am, I said, he must be a Christian. No? I Am. That's the name of the Lord. I Am. But then it wasn't a Christian movie. He says, in that documentary, he was doing a survey on animals. He says, did you realize when a lion goes out to hunt, he goes and catches it? All right? Maybe the deer. He gets it and drags it to his den and he starts eating. Now, it don't occur to the lion, hey, halfway eating, maybe I should go for a second one and third one just in case, not enough. The lion don't do that. Only one deer at a time is sufficient. He says, we human beings, we accumulate and we gather more and more and more because our hearts are never satisfied. I say that's pretty true. Even I don't know whether you're Christian or not. Hey, you sound like a Christian by the way you talk. But that's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that as believers we don't say. Yes, we must. We should. You know, the Bible teaches us that we ought to be wise. All right, look at the end. He works so hard in summer. No commander, yet he knows how to save in the summer so that winter he has enough. So nothing wrong in saving. But the problem is some people, they save so much that if they were to die and resurrect and come back to live again four times, they can't finish all their money. They have so much accumulated. You know, Jesus said in Mark 4:19, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and it's the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So Jesus was talking about the parable of the seeds. It says some seeds fall on the thorny ground. And because of that, the seed was choked. And it didn't bring forth the fruit that it was intended. Have you ever wondered why, brothers and sisters, some Christians, they come to church decade in, decade out. They can be in church for 20, 30 years. Nothing changed in their life. They can go from seminar to seminar, conferences to conferences. And nothing changed in their lives. Bible study after Bible study. Nothing changes in their lives. Why? I can only say one of the reasons is this. Their hearts are being deceived there because of the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of the chasing of the wealth and the desire for the things of this world come and choke it and make it unfruitful. Of course, there are many other reasons, but this could be one of it. Let me just suggest a few things, brothers and sisters, that as believers, you and I, you know, if we so desire to have godly desires, what are they? Number one, may I suggest that we have the godly desire to live our lives trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord. Listen to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Tremendous scripture here. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. That's the tremendous scripture. Do you know who wrote it? The author is Agor. I have a feeling he's a Chinese fellow. Agor is a very familiar Chinese name, you know. He must be either Cantonese or Hokkien. Agor! That's what the Bible says. You don't believe me? Look it in a small print. The author is Agor, son of Jake. Very Chinese name. But I like him. Tremendous wisdom. He didn't want to be too poor, neither did he want to be filthy rich. Why? I think it's very simple. It's very wise of him. You see, when we have too little, we may doubt God. When we go through hardship, you know, when you have too many bills at the end of the month, you'll be wondering, oh God, if you're a good God, why you let me go through this kind of financial problems? However, on the reverse, if you have too much, you may be tempted to trust in your own riches and not in the Lord. No wonder the Lord taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our, you got it, our daily bread. But unfortunately, some Christians, they don't pray for daily bread. They pray for their monthly bread. They pray for their yearly bread. Oh God, bless me, hallelujah. But that's what Jesus taught us, to trust Him. One day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread. Hallelujah. May we trust the Lord to meet our needs one step at a time. Because Paul told Timothy in Timothy chapter 6 verse 9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. This morning, what is your heart desires? Is it for more wealth? More money? Be very careful. If that is your desire, Paul warns us, it can lead you to destruction and plunge you into destruction and ruin and destroy your faith. How many Christians whose faith have been destroyed left churches, throw the Bible aside because of the desire for wealth, resulting in the consequences thereof that's unimaginable. Proverbs 3 verse 5, the Bible encouraged us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's what God desires of His children, that we may put our trust in Him, not in ourselves, not in our capabilities, and so forth. One of the reasons why the Lord answers your prayers, my prayers, one of the reasons the Lord allows you to experience tremendous breakthroughs, miracles, etc., is that we may put our trust in Him. Listen to what the scripture says in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. And when the Israelites saw that the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. Not only in Him, but in Moses, the man of God. That's the purpose. When God answers your prayers, my prayers, give you a breakthrough, give me a breakthrough, that we may put our trust in Him. Unfortunately, some people, when God answers their prayers, they conveniently forget who is God. Have you met people like that? I have. I've been in church ministry 36 years. I've seen every Tom, Dick, and Harry come into the church and go out of church. The straight, the crooked, the slimy. Some of them, desperate for help, we help them, spend tremendous time encouraging them, and see them getting a breakthrough. They are happy. Come to church for a short while. After that, disappear. Call them again. Please come to church. I'm busy. Oh, when you have trouble, you're not too busy. When things are all right, you're too busy. I hope that's not you and that's not me. Amen. Hallelujah. We should trust the Lord, whether in times of prosperity or adversity. May we be like Hezekiah. Look at him. He experienced prosperity, success. and yet he walked with God. Very few Christians are like this. Some Christians, the richer they get, the further away they walk from the Lord. But not Hezekiah. Listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. Verse 6. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. And he kept the commands the Lord had given Moses. And the Lord was with him. And he was successful in whatever he undertook. Isn't that wonderful? Here is a man. Tremendous success in his life. One success after another. Yet at the peak of his prosperity and success, he held fast to the Lord and walked in the word of the Lord. May you and I be that kind of Christian. May that be the desire of your heart. Amen. On the reverse, you know, God allows us to go through adversity. Don't ever believe any preacher says, come to Jesus, hallelujah. It will be like a bed of roses. God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, hallelujah. No problems in life. Who don't like that? I like that too. Come on me. Make me your member. But you and I realize that in life, it's not that simple. Because Jesus made it very clear. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look at the extremer thereof, the Apostle Paul. He's been beaten, criticized, slandered, beaten to death, left for dead. He's been hungry because of the work of the gospel and so forth. They put him in prison. And through it all, he was faithful unto the Lord. He said he almost died. Listen to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, indeed, our hearts felt the sentence of death. Probably they beat him until his life almost just left him. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Here is the Apostle Paul, going through all kinds of problems, yet through it all, he put his trust in the Lord. May you and I be the kind of believers, should we ever go through adversity and life. May this be your godly desire, that we live our lives trusting the Lord. Like Agur, I like him. Don't give me too much, don't give me too little, lest I do something stupid and dishonor your name. Which leads to the next point. It should be our godly desire that we live our Christian lives having a good testimony and not dishonor the name of our Lord. Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. That's what Paul says. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. I read of a description of a Christian driver. He was driving his car, and then behold, in front of him was another car. And on the bumper, it says, honk if you love Jesus. Say, hey, this must be a Christian brother in front of me. So he says, hey, that's wonderful. He put his hand on the horn. Bang! The guy in front looked back. He said, maybe he didn't really hear me. I'll try one more time. Bang! By this time, the driver in front wound down his window and shook his fist. Oh, thank God he didn't put up the middle finger. The Christian brother behind him, he says, I wish I can go down to his car and remove the bumper sticker, honk if you love Jesus. Well, God bless you if you like to put nice Christian stickers on your car, but don't drive like a madman. Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's what Ego is trying to tell us in Proverbs 30. He says, if I have too much, I may disown you and say, who's the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. You know, from time to time, it's my prayer. Say, Lord, I've served you 30 over years. I thank you for holding my hands. Don't let me do anything stupid that will shame you.
May that be your prayer too. Amen. We live in a time, I don't have to tell you stories about pastors get involved in immorality, financial impropriety, to the disgrace of the name of Jesus. Even currently, up to date, how many pastors are like this? One time I was watching a documentary, Operation Repo. Maybe some of you have seen on TV. It's about the documentary, how they go to places, they repossess cars, vans, or whatever. You know, people borrow money and then they don't pay the installments. So the commentator was, they were saying, you know, we hate to do these kind of things to churches. But we have to do it. All right, they don't pay. And this church, they took money for the van, they haven't been paying for 6 months. So they came to the church. Now, so happened when they came, the pastor came out with a group of believers. The group of believers, coincidentally, were the one that sponsored the installment of the van. The Bible, the pastor was carrying a big Bible. He was wearing a big cross. Just, by the way, not all people that carry big Bibles and wear big crosses are godly people. So, the pastor says, "Hey, what are you guys here for?" He says, "We are here to repossess the church van." He said, that must be a mistake. There's no mistake. We've been instructed by the bank. You haven't been paying 6 months. But by the time the church members say, "Hey, pastor, what's wrong? What's wrong?" Pastor said, No problem. Just some paperwork mistake. When he said that, the repossessor said on TV, "This pastor is a liar. There is no paper mistake. He hasn't been paying for 6 months." So they were arguing to and fro. So the repossessor said, Give us the key. If you don't give us the key, we'll repossess and drag the church van out of the church." Argue. He says, You want the key. I'll give you the key." He put his hand into the pocket, took out the key, and threw it on the floor. And lo and behold, along with the keys came out casino chips. Some $500, some $1,000 chips. I said, "What a shame." I said, "My God, this is on TV, broadcasted all over the world. And this is a pastor." By that time, church members were crying. Those who sponsored the van. Oh my God. We must get back to the words of Ego. "Oh Lord, don't let me do anything that will dishonor your name." Amen. Hallelujah. However, if you and I have that godly desire to live our lives to the testimony of the Lord, listen to what the Lord says. "Those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me, I will despise." 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. So, have a good testimony. But sometimes, you know, brothers and sisters, especially those of us that grew up in church, you know, when we hear people with colorful background, and I was like, when you hear testimonies like, "Yeah, I was in the mafia, you know, and I got this guy that cut off his 5 fingers, and thank God in prison, I now got to know Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm a new creation." But then you listen to them and say, "Oh my God, oh, what have I got? I know I have been in church my whole life. The only sin I did was I kicked my neighbor's dog. What testimony do I have?" Now, brother, if you're like that, I want to encourage you. You don't need to be an ex-mafia boss to have a good testimony. Listen to the word of God. There's this man. He's never committed adultery, never, you know, did anything that's bad, never murdered anybody. Live a good life, a righteous life. Listen to what Jesus said about him. Hallelujah. Matthew 11:11, concerning John the Baptist. "Truly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." Isn't it wonderful? He lived a good life. No wicked past. And Jesus said, what a tremendous testimony. You read the word of God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Can you imagine when he was born? Just coming out, speaking in tongues. Wow, hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost while in his mother's womb. Live a good life. And Jesus said, of all men born of woman, there's no one like John the Baptist. In Cantonese, say, mo tak teng ah. If you understand Chinese. Number 3, may you and I have a godly desire that others be blessed as a result of knowing you. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul said,
Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. Paul is talking to the Philippians. He says, I'm wanting to raise funds. Not that I may benefit from it. I do all this is for your credit and you will be blessed. Hallelujah. We need to have that kind of desire, you know, to live our lives that others be blessed. Generally speaking, we, human nature, we only care about three people in this world. I, me, and myself. Isn't it? We're all born selfish. Until the Lord changed our lives. Paul was like his master. Jesus. Mark 10:45. He came not to be served by other people, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Paul followed him. And he has the audacity, not only the audacity, but the life to back it up when he says, follow me as I follow Jesus. Not many pastors dare to say that. Not many leaders dare to say that. But Paul said it. Follow me as I follow Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters, a good number of problems between husband and wives. Yeah, when they're dating, they're so sweet. Honey here, honey there, darling here, darling there. After they get married, they are like cats and dogs. Why all the problems? Basically, of the root of selfishness. I married you. Is that you may cook for me, iron for me, do for me, whatever I tell you to do. And that's where, yeah, they quarrel and fight and argue. Because of self-centeredness, isn't it? And so we got to be very careful. Even then, you know, even in doing good works, even then, you have to be very careful too. Because some people do good works for ulterior motives. Isn't it? They may give you a donation, then they magnify the check, you know, 100 times. They may give you a helping hand. They say, hey, brother, I'll do you a favor. At the back of their mind, you owe me one. Next time when I need some help, you know what to do, huh? That's human nature. Even with helping people or doing good works, there's the ulterior motive therein. It would be wonderful when you and I live our lives to bless others with no strings attached, like the Apostle Paul. Some people do good works, even in church, for recognition. The moment you don't recognize them, they'll leave the church. Good riddance. I don't like this church. Have you met people before? Like this? I have. I'm sorry I'm so blunt. But I'll come back once in 8 years. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not here to tickle your ears. If you like me, praise the Lord. If you don't, I also praise the Lord. I'll come back once in 8 years. It's better I preach to you the truth than tickle your ears with nice sounding words. Brothers and sisters, may we have the godly desire to live our lives, that others may be blessed. Honestly speaking, what I've been doing the last 30 odd years, the places I go to, I benefit zero, nothing. I go to the interior, the poor places, Calgary. Right hand is my chopstick, fork and spoon. Left hand is my toilet paper. I'd rather stay at home. I go to them to encourage them. I get zero offering from them. I must be a terrible speaker. You know, a good speaker, really, serious, a good speaker, when you hold a conference in Perth, people pay $500, $1,000 to go and listen to the speaker. I'm on the reverse. I pay them to come and listen to me. What a pathetic speaker. It's my joy, my privilege to serve the Lord, to go to places like this. All they can do is to say, thank you, Pastor Tuck, for coming. I say, you're most welcome. The Lord bless you. I'm blessed that you are blessed. Sometimes I think to myself, I'm doing all these things. Charisma magazine don't know me. Christian TV don't know me. But that's okay. God know me. That's most important.
Number four, may we have a godly desire for Him, not what we can get from Him. Back to the scripture we read just now in Psalms 73. Listen to it again. Whom have I in heaven, O Lord, but You? And on earth, I desire nothing except You. Now that's a powerful prayer. Not very many people can pray that. The first part is very easy to pray. I can pray that. Whom have I in heaven but You, Jesus? Hallelujah. And on earth, thank You, Lord. A BMW will be pretty nice. Amen. Whom have I in heaven? And on earth, a Mercedes-Benz will be pretty, pretty nice. Amen. How many of us can pray that prayer? Whom have I in heaven? And on earth, I desire nothing except You. Not many can pray that prayer. But that should be our desire. Amen. That we come to Him just for Him alone. Unfortunately, we come to the Lord for His hand of blessing. Oh Lord, that You may bless me, bless my wife, bless my children, hallelujah. Let them get a bonus, let them get a job, bless my dog, bless my cat, hallelujah, amen. We want the hand of God. The Lord says, oh, that my children will come and seek my face. Amen. Hallelujah. May we seek Him for who He is. People come to church for all kinds of motives, isn't it? Not all people have the pure motive as the psalmist. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. How many of us have that pure heart? We come to the church to seek the Lord. Let me be honest with you. I come from a Buddhist background. I bow down to idols. I offer food to idols in my non-Christian days. But then I heard of the church. I went to church. I said, hallelujah, so many beautiful girls. There's a good place to be. We come to church with binocular eyes. Oh, there's one sister sitting there. Hallelujah. I know you're not like me. Yeah, you have a more noble heart than mine. But listen to what Jesus said to the crowds that came to Him. In the scripture, He says, John 6:26, verily, very truly I tell you, you are looking for Me, not because of the signs I perform, but because of the loaves of bread that you have eaten and you had your fill. Jesus made it very clear. Some of you among the crowd, you come to Me not because you are seeking Me. You come because you have carnal desires. You know, you want to be blessed. You want the bread. You want the fish and so forth. You look at the psalmist. He says, as the deer pants for the water, so I pants after You. Now, that's the heart of a God seeker. But then you read down to round about verse 5, he begins to talk to himself. Now, brother, when a man begins to talk to himself, something is wrong somewhere, okay? He is really down. He's really depressed. He says, oh, my soul, why are you so down? Oh, my soul, why are you so downcast? Put down your hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. For yet, I will praise Him, my God, my Savior. I have a friend who started serving the Lord same time, same year as me, 1976. He left a managerial position, had a good pay, and then to serve the Lord for a fraction, a pittance, so to speak. To cut a long story short, years of serving the Lord, he had hard times. Sometimes not enough money, go through this problem, that problem. Only daughter grew up, unfortunately married a guy, I don't know whether Christian or by name or whatever. The marriage within 1-2 years broke up, and the daughter came back with a granddaughter to the house. When my friend saw that, his heart was broken. He said, oh God, what in the world did I do to deserve all this misery? I left my job to serve You. I encountered problems to serve You. Look at my life. Look at my child. Look at my grandchild. Why do You allow these kind of problems to come to me?
He spiraled into depression for 2 years. No, no, we're talking about a pastor. We're not talking about average Joe that comes to church. Right? He has the call to serve the Lord. For 2 years, cannot pray. For 2 years, cannot read the Bible. He was like in a tunnel of darkness. He wanted to commit suicide. But then he says, better not. I think he remembered the name of the words of Agor. If he commits suicide, it will be a bad testimony. He said, oh. He wanted to kill himself. And then he says, I better not. It will be a bad testimony. He says, he told me, the more I pray that God touched me, the worse I became. The more I pray, oh God, break this bondage of darkness, the more I pray, the worse I became. And then he says, one day, I came into the presence of the Lord. He says, Jesus, I'm not asking you to touch me or to heal me. All I want is you and you alone. From that day on, he got a breakthrough. The Lord set him totally free. Not immediately, gradually. And he wrote me, his brother, I'm set free from the bondage of depression. I say, hallelujah. When I come through Singapore, I'll take you out for lunch or dinner. We'll celebrate. Hallelujah. Today, he's back to his old self. Able to joke, able to laugh, able to preach, able to read the Bible, able to encourage others. Isn't that wonderful? I don't wish that happened to you. But sometimes, the Lord allows us to go through certain experiences that we may come to him. Just for him alone. Nothing else. Nothing more. Nothing less. Finally, may we, fifthly, have a godly desire to do his will. Psalms 40 verse 8. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. What a godly man. We have a godly desire. He says, oh Lord, I want to do your will. I desire to do your will. Your word is written in my heart. You know, Jesus said in John 4:34, my food. You know, the context, you're wondering, has he had his Hungry Jack's burger yet? Oh, Jesus said, no. My food is to do the will of the Father who sent me, and to finish his work. That's the world of difference. There are many starters in the kingdom of God. Not many will finish well. May the Lord help you and help me, that we have a heart's desire, that our purpose in life is just not for food. You know, our purpose in life is to do his will. Not just to do his will, and to finish it. Amen? Hallelujah. Take delight in the law, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37, verse 3 to 5. Psalms 145, verse 19. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. You know, brother, sister, when you fear him, when I fear him, his word promises you and I that he will fulfill your desire. He hears their cry and saves them. Hallelujah. May that be your desire. Amen. We serve a good God. We serve a wonderful God. If I have to live my life all over, I'll do exactly the same thing. If not, even better or more. I have no regret. When I was a young man, I said, Lord, I will follow you. When all my friends went into engineering, medical line, whatever, I said, I will serve you. I will serve you. I'll put my hands on the plow. And Lord, I won't want to look back. Many times tempted to look back. But thank God, his grace is always sufficient. Amen. Hallelujah. I trust that this simple message has encouraged your heart to have godly desires. Let's stand to our feet, and can we have the musicians and the singers come and sing the beautiful song, This Is My Desire. So this morning we have touched on the Word of God to inculcate godly desires in the depths of our heart. Number one, may we have a godly desire to live our life trusting the Lord one day at a time. Number two, may we have a desire to live our lives that we have a good testimony. Number three, may we have a desire that others may be blessed as a result of knowing you and crossing paths with you. Number four, may we have a desire for Him and Him alone and not what we can get from Him. By the way, there's nothing wrong for you to present your request to the Lord, because Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't let your heart be anxious nor be troubled, but with thanksgiving present your request unto Him, and God will hear your prayer. So nothing wrong in prayer for in praying for personal requests and so forth. It's wonderful. The Bible tells us to do it. But all in all, may we just not come to Him for what we can get from Him. And of course, finally, may we have a desire to do His will. This is my desire. Go ahead. perhaps the Lord has spoken to some of you. And the Spirit of God is doing a spiritual surgery in the depths of your heart. You realize there have been some desires that are carnal. Perhaps there are desires that are materialistic. Perhaps there are desires that are plainly selfish, and the Lord is dealing with you. Just give your heart to Him. Amen. Just repent of your sins and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Cleanse my heart from those desires that are not of you. Let the Lord touch you where you are. You don't have to come up here. The Lord is with you. Where you are, He can perceive your heart more than you can perceive your own heart, because Jeremiah says, how can a man discern or understand his own heart, because it is deceitfully wicked. Only the Lord knows what is in the depths of our hearts. And let the Lord touch you. Let the Lord change you. Hallelujah. Some of us, we say, Lord, give me that godly desire that I will use my life to be a blessing to those that come to know me. Lord, use my life so that I will want to do your will. Give me that desire to do your will. Hallelujah. Let's close with the song, This Is My Desire. And if you should need any prayers or encouragement, feel free to come to the front. Your pastor is here. We're here to pray with you, for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. We're here to encourage you to walk closer with the Lord.
Father, we thank you for this morning.